Going on with the recording over here? Okay, I'm not sure. The recorder just shut off. Let's try again. Okay, so in response to the Midas Hadin, in response to the Midas Hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to use an extra dose of Chesed. Again, it's not harder for God to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim than it is for Hashem to do anything. And everything by Hashem is easy. So what does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you took the Jews out of Mitzrayim b'koach gadol, v'yad chazaka. How can you kill them in the Midbar? What does it mean? Let's read inside. Again, the line that begins with the word le'umas. Leze le'umas midas hadin hakasha. Hutzrech HaKadosh Baruch Hu laharos kocho hagadol, shu chesed ha'elyon, lahabit b'pnimius nafshos Yisrael, asher zos lo nigla l'shum b'riya zulasa yisbarach shema. In order to save the Jewish people, Hashem had to try to save us and recognize something about us in a way that an outsider can't recognize. Meaning superficially, we look the same as them. Halalu of Avodah Zarah, halalu of Avodah Zarah. The Jews are idol worshippers, and the Egyptians are idol worshippers. Right? What's the difference between this one and that one? So Hashem says, my midah of chesed gives me the ability to see something that the average person can't see. Again, if we're looking at it from a midas hadin standpoint, ein achanami, the Jews are as guilty as the Egyptians. They're as lowly as the Egyptians. They're on the 49th level of impurity. They don't deserve to be saved. However, HaKadosh Baruch was able to look with his chesed ha'elyon, to be able to look from a higher place, to not only look at it as it looks superficially from the world below, but to see b'shoresh nishmasam, at the core of our soul, who are these Jews? Right? What are they in potential? Only Hashem can make a decision now based on someone's potential later. Only Hashem could really invest in something now, knowing that it will bear fruits later. Lahabit bepnimius nafshos Yisrael, to look into the pnimius, into the inner core of the soul of the Jews, asher zos lo nigla l'shum b'riya zulasa yisbarach shemo, and to recognize within us something that only Hashem could recognize, that no one else could recognize. Ulifdosam mima'amake bor vadut, and to redeem us from, so to speak, the pit. As we'll get back to in Bava Kama today, in Bay, is a person who covered or didn't cover a pit properly, right? I think a dus is like a cistern. We were in a hole. That's what he said. And only Hashem could pull us out of that hole, because only Hashem could understand what it was like for us to be in that position. Aval lechol ha'umos v'gam l'malachei mala. But the rest of the world, the nations of the world, they looked at Klal Yisrael and they said, you guys are no different than the Egyptians. The angels in heaven, the Malachim Mala, could not see how Klal Yisrael was different. L'saran shel Mitzrayim, to the ministering angels of Egypt, the defense attorneys for the Egyptians, as the Egyptians are drowning in the Yam Suf, their angels are claiming, what are you doing? I don't understand. Why are the Jews more worthy than these Egyptians? Hayadavar lapella. It was a wondrous thing. It doesn't make any sense. Why should you save the Jews? V'zehu kavanas ha'kasuv. So now, let's understand what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Chaver, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's claim? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lama yomru Mitzrayim leimor, bira hotziam, bira'a hotziam. Why should the Egyptians be able to claim that what? That you took the Jews out? Bira'a. What does that mean? Again, the pasuk shot in the pasuk is that if you kill the Jews now, it looks like what? It looks like you had evil intent from the beginning when you took them out of Egypt. You planned to kill them all along. You kidnapped a slave from one oppressor and you became the new oppressor and you killed the Jews. On a deeper level, says the Yismach Yisrael, Moshe is saying, it looks like bira hotziam. It looks like you took out bad Jews. It looks like you took them out and they were bad, right? What does that mean? Hainu. B'koach hara sheyesh bahem ata. The same way, Hashem, if you kill the Jews now, what are you saying about them? You're saying they're bad Jews. So then in Mitzrayim, when you took them out, in retrospect, we could also say, yeah, the Jews were always bad. The Jews were never good. B'koach hazeh hotziam. Ki gam oz hayu ovdei avodah zarah. Right? Because even then, in Mitzrayim, they were idol worshippers. You took them out. Now you kill them in the Midbar. So basically, the takeaway when the world looks at Klal Yisrael is that these are bad people. For whatever weird reason, God didn't want the Egyptians to kill them. God took them for himself to kill. And he killed them in the wilderness. But they were bad, and they were bad, and they were always bad. They were bad then, and the fact that he killed them proves that what? That they were bad all along. So now look, two lines on the bottom. Ki gam oz hayu over the avodah zara, umadua yiksof aleim keis. So why would, Hashem, if they were bad all along, so why are you getting angry at them now? Why did you save them before? Oh, it must be, you weren't really saving them before. You were just taking them for yourself to kill them. V'chiyigra ke'eis kocham, halo ka'oz ke'nata. V'lezeh yiechas v'shalom chil Hashem be'inei ha'amim chalila, v'tfila kazos hu yakar be'inei Hashem. So what was Moshe davening? Moshe saying, if you kill the Jews now in the Midbar, the world is going to say the Jews were bad in Egypt, and the Jews are bad in the wilderness, and the Jews were never good. Right? You took them out because you saw them as bad, God. But the truth of the matter is, Hashem, says Moshe, I know you saw them as good. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, who know how to see deeper, I know that you saw the Jews as good. And if even if now they deserve to be killed, you have to realize how the Egyptians are going to reinterpret the story. If you kill the Jews now, says Moshe, the Egyptians are going to think that the Jewish people are always bad. What? Are the Egyptians dead? Whoever's still in Mitzrayim. Lama Yomru Mitzrayim. Yeah, there were still Jews. There were still Egyptians in Mitzrayim. Not all of Egypt came to the Yamsuf. 600 chariots. There were still Egyptians in Mitzrayim. So if the word gets out that the Jews were killed, then it's going to prove retroactively that they were always bad. Right? But Hashem, you know, and says, I know that you took Klal Yisrael out because you didn't believe that they were so good. So just like you saw Hashem, you saw more deeply in Egypt to distinguish the Jews from the Egyptians. So too now, Hashem continued to see the good of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is basically asking Hashem to see the Jewish people in the deepest possible way. And that's a beautiful tefillah for a tzaddik to daven. That's every tefillah of Levi Yitzchak Berditch of every davened. Begging Hashem to continue to see the Jewish people, right? Not in a superficial way, a way that's worthy of punishment, but to see the Jewish people at their core, which is that a Jew bepnimius from a higher place is always good, and that's what it means. Hashem, I know. Asher etzeis me'aretz Mitzrayim bekoach gadol. You tried to see them from a place of chesed beyond midas adin. Hashem, I know you could see the good in these Jews, so continue to see the good in these Jews. Let's look at the next paragraph as he explains it. Ulahazbir hadvarim detainas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom hayalama yomer Mitzrayim leimor ki paro harasha amr lehem mitchila re'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. As the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, Paro already said, I see that you have evil in your future. I see blood in your future. I see destruction in your future. Of course, what Paro was really seeing was the bris milah that Klal Yisrael would do in the future. But Paro read the stars, his astronomers and astrologers told him that, no, we see in the sky that there's evil, there's bad lurking in the future for the Jewish people. Right? So the Jews had a complex. Even as God was saving them, they weren't sure, is God saving us because he likes us? Or is he saving us and God thinks that we're really bad and maybe he has some strange evil intent of what he's going to do to us or for us? So Paro already put this idea on their head. Ra'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. Realize that there's something bad awaiting you around the corner. God's not saving you. Right? God is just taking over the enslavement. Hainu shenika ha'ra al p'neichem. Paro says, what? Ra'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. I see that there's evil neged p'neichem, opposite your face. The pashup shot means in your near future. On a deeper level, even Paro says, I can see the evil on your face. Like I mentioned earlier this week, that tzaddikim have the ability to read a person's face and see the averos, right, that the person has done. The Jews were so low in Mitzrayim that even Paro says, even my people can read your face. And you Jews, you're lowly people. V'atem mishukam ma'od b'tumah. You're on the 49th level of tumah. You're a bunch of lowly Jews. V'eich efshar shiga'el eschem Hashem. So how could you imagine that God is actually, what, redeeming you and saving you? Uve emes kein Yisrael ba'atzram, amatmam, amru l'Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. We ourselves asked Moshe this question according to the Medrash. Klal Yisrael could not understand why God would want to save them. Because Klal Yisrael saw themselves on the surface, and this is what they've been up to. 49th level of Tumah. It was hard for us to believe that we could become the exalted chosen people who would receive God's Torah. Kemuvur b'medrash chazis, shir hashirim rabba, on the pasuk kol dodi hine zeba. So what's Moshe's response? Uchuvas Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom, keven shu chafetz begulaschem, einu mabit b'cheshben oseichem. Hashem desires your redemption. Hashem doesn't look at it the way that you look at it. Hashem has a different way of, so to speak, seeing the geula. Hashem has a different way of looking at the entire situation. You see it one way, Kadosh Baruch Hu sees it, Kadosh Baruch Hu sees it a very different way. How many lashes does a person get for doing an avera? So the Torah says, Arba'im Yakenu. Should get 40 lashes. A person should get 40 lashes. Right? But we know that in truth, the rabbi has established that what the Torah really meant was 39 lashes. What's the idea of 39 lashes? The Torah seems to be pretty clear, 40. So the rabbi says, well, no, it means up to 40. What's the panemius of that idea? The Gemara says in Maseches Makos that it shows the greatness of the rabbis. It's one of the greatest things the rabbis ever said, when they understood that when Hashem said 40, he really meant 39. If you remember, we learned earlier this week that there are four worlds: Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Each of those worlds are made up of 10 spheros, 10 dimensions, 10 levels, call it what you will. So that means when my neshama, when my life is being created, my neshama comes from somewhere beyond these four worlds, and it descends through each of the four worlds with its 10 dimensions. So to speak, I've traveled 40 levels in order to be, in order to exist, in order to be alive. What happens when I do an avera? In a certain sense, I've sort of proven, right, that all of that, in quotes, effort that was made to give me existence, all of the spiritual sustenance and energy that God has invested in me was all a big waste, because I don't listen to God anyways and I do averos. So the Torah says you do a lo sasei, you get 40 lashes. The rabbis came along, what did the rabbis say? 39 lashes. 39 lashes. What's the idea of 39 lashes? Explains the Maharal of Prague, it's our way of saying to a Jew, when it looks like you've totally ruined yourself, that your life was not worth it, you don't deserve to be alive, right? 40 lashes. I sent a divine spark down 40 worlds, 40 levels, because I believed in you. And now you sinned and you ruined the whole thing. So 40 lashes, right? 40 degrees of failure by not listening to God. The rabbis came along and they said, no. A Jew has to know it's never 40, it's 39. He didn't sin all the way, right? The Avera didn't go that deep. There's always one part of him that's still pure. That even at the moment that he sinned, that's only the superficial expression of who he is. But in the depths of his being, in a way that maybe he can't see, that the Egyptians can't see, that the whole world can't see, that the angels can't see, Hashem can see. Hashem can see. And that's why we give 39 lashes. So the Jewish people themselves in Mitzrayim said, I don't understand. Hashem, why would you want to save us? So Hashem says, stop with your cheshbonos. You don't know how to do math. Ask the rabbis how to do math. It looks like 40, but it's really 39. Hainu, bebechinas gavoa me'al gavoa asher shom ein maga goy v'shum kitrug chas v'shalom. To be able to see things higher and higher, or maybe deeper and deeper, to reach a point where sin can't touch, a place where there's no kitrug, where there's no what? Where there's no critique against us, where there's no claims against us. As Chazal say, who saved us in Egypt? What do we highlight in the Haggadah? It's a very clear point now. What do we say in the Haggadah? Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo ashliach. Hashem says the only one who could save you in Egypt was Hashem. Only I could save you in Mitzrayim. You know why? Because everyone else would have looked at you and said, I don't see a reason to save the Jews. You're not different. You're not better. You're not any different than the Egyptians. So therefore Hashem says, so I'll do it. Ani v'lo malach, v'lo saraf, ani v'lo hashliach, I'll take care. They're in our eyes. The whole thing to us, we ourselves don't really get it. Okay, va'ata, and therefore, I'll take your question in 1 second. Yomru Mitzrayim. Listen how he reads the pasuk. Right? What was the pasuk? Lama yomru Mitzrayim leimor bera hotziyam. Why should the Egyptians be allowed to say, again, Hashem, if you kill Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, the story is going to be interpreted that you took out bad Jews just to kill them. You thought the Egyptians were bad. You thought the Jews were bad. Maybe you thought it's not good that bad guys should kill bad guys. So Hashem says, I'll kill the Jews myself. So you took them out of Egypt to kill them in the wilderness. But then, Rachman al-Etzlan, you leave, so to speak, as the analysis of history, that Egyptians are bad and Jews are bad. And that would be very sad, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Because I know that you, Hashem, when you took the Jews out of Mitzrayim, you saw who they really are. You saw beneath the surface. So therefore, Lama Yomru Mitzrayim. Look what he says 3 lines from the end. What's a Meitzar? Right? A constriction, a boundary, a border. Milashon Meitzar uGvul. Kihem Osim Gvul uMeitzar b'chaste Hashem Yisvarach. If you kill the Jews now, Hashem, if you can't handle Klal Yisrael now, if you give up on the Jewish people now, then guess what? The Egyptians are going to say, see, even God has his breaking point. The chesed of Hashem can only go so far. Even if God maybe had kindness for the Jews because he saw, but there's a point where a Jew is just can ruin himself completely. And from the perspective of Meitzar, from the perspective of Mitzrayim, from seeing what? The world in limitations and boundaries, they're going to look at Klal Yisrael in a very limited way and say, yeah, the Jews are bad. And even God couldn't you know, find the good in them. So God forbid the nations of the world should say, V'yomru sha'ad ko ha'ya'od koach kiviyachol b'chesed Hashem l'rachem aleim, that Hashem's kindness only went so far. Turn the page. Aval lo yoser chas v'shalom. But God, you know, there comes a point where God has to just be realistic about the Jews, and the Jews are bad. Chas v'shalom. V'zehu sheker v'chalila chil Hashem u'kvodo. To claim that Hashem's people, the children of Hashem, are bad, is a big chil Hashem. To claim that God has a limited amount of kindness or willingness to understand Klal Yisrael is also a big chil Hashem. Ki be'emes chaste Hashem lo samnu v'lo chalu rachamav. The kindness of Hashem never expires. It never runs out. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is basically convincing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you hurt the Jewish people now, the Egyptians are going to say bad things about Klal Yisrael and bad things about you. And Hashem, I know that you're unlimited, and I know that Klal Yisrael is not the same, even if superficially they look the same, but Klal Yisrael is not the same as the Egyptians. I don't want to allow the Egyptians to reinterpret the story in that way. Okay, questions or comments? Yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good. Very good. Yes? Right, the highest point was left. So how that works exactly is a good question. Right? What that means. Right. What is that? Where is the place that's untouched? Right. I don't really know how to alpi this idea of the 40. I mean, that's how the Maharal explains it. He says there are 4 worlds, there are 10 dimensions to each of the worlds. And you should just know that the sin only, you know, kind of knocked 39 levels. But the same way in Mitzrayim, there's 50 levels of Tumah. We sunk to the 40 level of Tumah. Right, but we didn't sink to level 50. So depending on what structure you're looking at, the point is there's always going to be something that remains pure. Exactly what the point is or how we refer to it is a good question.
It's the highest point.
It's the point, yeah. From the highest perspective, right, or maybe the deepest perspective, you're able to see something different. If you look at it superficially, right, you look at 2 people standing next to each other, superficially they both look healthy. To do some medical testing, you get into their blood and you find that, wow, one of them is actually very sick. Right? You do some x-rays and you find that, wow, this one has a real serious problem with his liver. Right? Again, on the surface, these 2 guys both look normal and healthy. So Hashem has the ability to see deeper spiritually and say, okay, you look filthy on the outside spiritually, but I see an essential good point within the Jew. Okay? All right, let's go on to the next little piece. Let's go on to Os Beis. Okay, because I want to make sure we have time for this little piece and then one little Purim piece. Okay, Uveyom Hashvi'i Shavas Vayinafash. Some very famous psukim in this week's parsha that you know well. We say them every Shabbos. Uveyom Hashvi'i Shavas Vayinafash. On the seventh day, Hashem rested. Again, another very basic question. What does it mean for God to rest? The same way we asked in the last piece, what does it mean for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to use His Koach Gadol? Right? It all seems to be equal by Hashem. So what does it mean that God rests? This question is an obvious question, so obvious that Rashi, of course, on this week's Parsha, has to address it. So Rashi writes, as he quotes here, Perish Rashi Zal, right? What's Vayina Fash? Vinach. Vinach, Menucha, he rested. And then Rashi writes, Umik sivbo lo yi'af v'lo yiga. Don't we know about Hashem that Hashem never gets tired? Hashem never gets worn out? V'chol pa'alo b'ma'amar, and everything he does just with his word. Like we say in davening, Hu amar v'yehi. He says it and it is. God doesn't, right? If Hashem wants something to exist, He just says it and it is. His word creates existence. If you want to build a skyscraper, you can't just say skyscraper and it appears. But by Hashem, there's no difference between what? Between action and saying and thought. It's all equal by God. So how could it be? What does it mean, says Rashi? About the one who it says, he never tires, he never gets weary, and all of his actions are b'ma'amar with a word. Hichtiv menucha la'atzmo. How could Hashem write about himself? Because that's what the Torah is, God writing his autobiography. How can Hashem write about himself that what? That vanach, he rested, vayinafash. Says Rashi, lisaber es ha'ozen, mashihi yachol lishma. It's written this way to help us to try to understand a concept that we can't really understand. Lisaber es ha'ozen. In order to make it somewhat understandable, right, to us. That we could hear such an idea. Okay? Those are the words of Rashi. What does that mean? The Torah is writing in a way that's something that we can relate to. Even though, you're right, God doesn't really rest, but, you know, we get tired and we need a day of rest, so Hashem, so to speak, also rested on Saturday, so we have a Shabbos as well. What does that mean? It doesn't really solve the problem, because, well, what does it mean? You're saying Hashem doesn't rest, so why does it say Hashem rested? So he explains a very deep idea. I hope I understand this. If you think I'm saying it wrong, tell me. Or if you think you understand it better, please tell me, because I'm not sure I understand this piece. But here's what he says. Ki af shelechora hi me'achushim she'enam b'rishuso shel adam. So if God creates through speech, and God creates through thought, if that's how God creates, if God doesn't build and do the way that we, you know, with our body, with our ivarim, with our limbs, that we're doing things. It means that when Hashem rested from what? From speech. Hashem rested from thought. Because again, if Hashem creates through thought and through speech, so I guess for God to rest, that's called resting for God. He rested his thoughts and he rested his speech. Again, we don't really know what speech means when we talk about God. We don't really know what thought means when we talk about God. Why is that important for us? The thought of God resting his body doesn't mean anything because God doesn't have a body. But we do see that Hashem speaks, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe. And we do have an idea that God thinks, Hashem is one with his thoughts, again, whatever that means in a deep philosophical way. So if we're saying, says the Yismael HaChishol, that Hashem rested on Shabbos, that means he rested his speech and he rested his thoughts. There are certain senses that are very hard to control. What's easier to control? Your thoughts or your actions? Right? What's harder to control? What's easier to control? I would think, right? It's easier to control my actions than it is my thoughts. It's very hard to really control my thoughts. When a thought comes into my mind, to be able to remove it from my mind, to be able to stop myself from thinking it, we think all sorts of things that I hope we would never do, right? But the thought has entered our mind. So it's much more difficult to control your thoughts than it is your actions. So says the Yismach Yisrael, there are chushim. Chushim means senses that are einam b'rishuso shel adam. There are senses, there's a sensory experience that we all have as human beings that are very difficult to control. It's not in our rishus. V'hashmiya eina rak ruchnius. Mikol makom yuchol ha'adam lekadesh uletayres atzmo al yidei kedushas shmiras Shabbos b'machshava sha'afilu ha'ivarim ha'elo lo yishmu ma'she'eno l'ratzon ha'kadosh baruch. It's very hard to control your ears. You know why it's hard to control your ears? Because not up to you. Right? Yes, the Gemara says in Ksubis that Hashem gave us pointy fingers to block our ears. Gemara says, someone speaking negatively, you could block your ears. Hashem also gave us earlobes, the Gemara says, to block our ears. So we have a way to close our ears, right? But it's very hard to close our ears. It's very hard to close our ears. You walk down the street and all of a sudden someone says something, you know, something unholy, and you heard it. So how do you train your ears to only hear that which Hashem wants you to hear? And how do I train my machshava to think only that which Hashem wants me to think? So he says the answer is Shabbos. What was Hashem resting on Shabbos about? Right? So Rashi said, Lisaber es ha'ozen. Which again, the Pasha Peshat and Rashi means, Lisaber es ha'ozen means, okay, we're just describing something that we can relate to. But Lisaber es ha'ozen also means we're sort of offering an answer for the ears. The ears are, as an example, says the Yismach Yisrael, is something that's ain't over shu social adam. It's hard for us to control. It's hard for me to control what enters my ears. It's hard for me to control what enters my mind. Right? It's difficult. There's certain parts of the body that are difficult to control. But when a person sanctifies himself and becomes a Shabbos dikiyid, the same way on Shabbos I restrict my limbs, right? I use my body parts differently on Shabbos. The hands that I use during the week to do so many malachos. Everything from what? From writing, to building, yeah, to whatever other constructive avoda I'm doing with my hands. 39 malachos. So the same way on Shabbos I restrict my hands from doing malacha, but I can also, says the Yismach Yisrael, use Shabbos to train myself to what? To control all of my senses. Pasuk says about Shabbos, Al Yetze Yish Mekomo B'Yom HaShabbos. A person can't leave his place on Shabbos, which of course has to do with building an Eruv, right, and not transferring from one Rishus to another Rishus. But also, Al Yetze Yish Mekomo means that a person what? That a person is able to be more in control. To be more in control when he's living within Shabbos. He doesn't leave Mekomo. Hashem is called Makom. HaMakom Yenachim Eschem. He's more connected to Hashem. So yes, even those evarim, even those limbs, which are difficult for us to control, it's possible to train them through the sanctity of Shabbos to what? That my ears shouldn't listen to anything other than the Ratzon Hashem. V'ikar shmiras Shabbos, he says, four lines from the end of the piece, hi b'machshava. You know where the real place of keeping Shabbos is? It's not driving your car or using your cell phone. Right? What's the ikar Shabbos? The ikar Shabbos is what? Is b'machshava. The same way that when God rests, so to speak, he rests in terms of his thought, because he creates through thought. Again, very deep idea. So too on Shabbos, we also have to what? Learn to control our thoughts. Shabbos is about what? Is about turning everything of all my senses over to God. To turn all my senses over to Hashem. That's why we explained once in the past, I told you that story with the Ben Ish Chai, remember, and his sister, they were fighting over who should do Avdallah. Who should hold the Havdalah candle? And he outsmarted his sister as a young boy by explaining the order of the brachos of Havdalah. Right? What's the order of the brachos by Havdalah? Right? It goes from the bottom up, right? First we make the blessing on the wine, that's taste. Then we make the blessing on the bisamim, that smell. Then we make the blessing on the fire, right? That's seeing. We see the fire. We're nana from the fire with our eyes. Then we make the blessing of hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, right? And that's it. That's the mind, using our mind. So you see, as we exit Shabbos, right, we're reminding ourselves that hopefully we've trained ourselves to be in control of all of our senses. Again, choosing not to eat kosher is a little bit easier, because I would have to actively go and purchase non-kosher food and put it in my mouth. Right? To control what I smell is a little harder. What I see is a little harder. What I think is a little harder. But at the end of a Shabbos, hopefully as we transition back to the week, we've gained a little bit more of a mastery over our senses. So he says, that's the avodah of Shabbos. Meleches machsheves asra Torah. He's saying a very interesting pshat. Right? Meleches machsheves asra Torah means on Shabbos we're not allowed to do meleches machsheves. Premeditated, constructive, thoughtful, mindful activity. But he's reading it as, yes, mindful activity. We have to be in control of our minds on Shabbos. That's how he's reading this statement of Chazal. Meleches machsheves asra Torah. Again, the pasuk pshat is that you're not allowed to do constructive activity on Shabbos. But he's saying, no, the melacha of the machshava is asr on Shabbos. You got to learn how to control your mind on Shabbos. Niskadish mikratzon v'chefetz habari baruch hu. And again, through training ourselves on Shabbos we have the ability, vayinafash, again, that my mind is not running wild, and my lips, my speech is not running wild on Shabbos. Again, the Navi says, v'daber davar. The way you speak during the week is not the way you speak on Shabbos. Everything on Shabbos is more controlled in the right way. It's contained in the right way. It's dwelling within an environment of Kedusha. Okay, so that, just like Hashem, so to speak, rested, not physically on Shabbos. Hashem's rest is one of a spiritual nature. So too, our rest on Shabbos also should have a more spiritual quality, to try to rest our machshava, and to gain control of our senses that are difficult to control. Yes.
You said
that the Saber Sozan? Yeah, the Saber Sozan,
yeah. You say that those Saber is also like the Shkor, the break. Like we're breaking at high
days. Right? Also true. Yeah. Very good. Okay, Chava, let's end with a little Purim piece. One little Purim piece. It's a short piece. Turn back to page 84. Very nice and sweet piece. Okay, I know the first two pieces today were a little hard, a little abstract, but I think this will be abundantly clear. On page 84, Os Beis. Okay, there's a lot of Purim Torah, so we'll try to do a little bit each time. Hatam shezachu ata lekabalas haTorah beratzon. We know that, of course, after the victory of the Jews on Purim, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's great salvation that he brought for us, the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah out of love. The original acceptance of the Torah at Har Sinai, we were forced into it. On Purim, Rashi's expression in Maseches Shabbos, me'ahavas hanes, from the love of the miracle, the Jews came to a new relationship with Hashem. So the question is why? What was it about Purim that created that? There were other moments of salvation in Jewish history, and the response wasn't, wow, we have a new appreciation for Torah. Why did Purim give us a new appreciation for Torah? That's really his question. What was it about Purim that gave us a new appreciation for Torah? And you'll see that it actually connects very beautifully to this year where we have a double Adar. Okay, take a look. Look what he says. Hatam shezachu ata lekabalas haTorah beratzon. The reason that now on Purim we came to an acceptance of the Torah willingly, hu kafi omram zal, can be explained according to the following Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Megillah says, Rav Levi b'shem Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, osa hashana haisam uberes. That year was a leap year. Chavri, you have to know that the actual year that Purim took place was a leap year. Turned out to be a leap year. Okay? So anytime you have a leap year, you're experiencing, so to speak, the real Purim. This year is the real Purim. It's a double Adar. It's the real Purim. It's the same way it was in the time of Purim itself. So that year was a Shana Mu'uberes. It was a leap year. My time in the Yerushalmi is translated a little bit differently than my time in the Bavli. My time in the Bavli means what?
What's the reason?
What's the reason? My taima in the Yerushalmi usually is how the Talmud Yerushalmi introduces a source. So my taima, what's the reason, means what's the source? So my taima, what's the source? How do you know that that was a leap year? Pasuk says, miyom liyom, umichodesh lechodesh, shnei masar, hu chodesh adar. Okay, how exactly that pasuk implies a leap year is discussed by the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi. Okay, but somehow in that pasuk, when Haman's casting his lots, and he does so from day to day, from month to month, right? Shneim asar hu chodesh adar, the 12th, which is Adar, right? Is it the fact that the 12th is always Adar? Why does the pasuk need to say that? Whatever it is, somehow it implies yom liyom chodesh lechodesh. It implies there was actually a leap year that year. Uvisvar makadoshim kosvu, dezehaya ikar hanes. The fact that it was a leap year actually brought salvation to Klal Yisrael. Why? How is a leap year advantageous for the Jewish people? The answer is Shehaman Chishev al Shana Pshuta. Haman himself was operating off of the assumption that it was a regular year, Shana Pshuta, a simple year, of Al Haya Shana Mu'uberes. But in truth, it turned out to be a leap year. V'achodesh hanosaf ein lo mazel. The 12 months of the calendar year each have a different mazel. Each have a different astrological sign. Each have a different heavenly alignment. You want to see pictures of it, just go to the entrance of this building and look on the floor, and you'll see that very interesting, you know, chart of the horoscopes and astrological signs. Why they built that into the entranceway to this building, I do not know. Okay? But what is the mazel? What is the mazel? What is the astrological sign for the 13th month? And the answer is, it doesn't have one. It's beyond Zman. It's outside of time in a very literal sense, right? What is a leap year? What does it mean? You're creating another month? What does it even mean? So it operates outside of time. It's not bound by mazel. Lo mazel. Lefichach, therefore, says, born in the 13th month, the person who is born in Adar Sheni, because he is outside of Mazel, he's not bound by any of the spiritual rules of the arrangement, the alignment of the stars, he cannot be harmed by Kishuf. He cannot be harmed by any type of what? Any type of magic. The dark arts will not work against him, because he operates beyond time. Again, within time, there are things that God built into nature which can be manipulated. But the Jewish people, like the Gemara says, ein mazel liyisrael. The Jewish people are not bound by mazel. Which means Adar Sheni is really our month. It's a month that's particularly good for the Jewish people. Haman was a big Baal Kishuf. Maybe you know about that, maybe you don't know about that. But Haman was very involved. He was very proficient in the dark arts. Haman was a sorcerer. Haman knew all sorts of things. But the good news is that the celebration of Purim, the miracle of Purim, took place when? V'ibur, right, took place in a leap year. V'ibur hashanim v'kiddush hachodesh rak liyisrael nimsara. Who determines, chevra, who determines if there's going to be a leap year? The weatherman. What did Hashem tell the Jews in Mitzrayim? The first mitzvah that was given to them is what? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Chodesh is given to you. You have the ability, through the power of Torah, to control Zman, because Torah is Lamala Min HaZman. That's why we mentioned earlier this week that on the way to Kabbalah Torah, we counted 7 weeks, 7 days, 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer, because 7 represents what? The number that Teva, that the natural world, is bound by. But at the beginning of the 8th week, because 8 is Lamala Min HaTeva, is when the Jewish people received the Torah. On the 50th day, the beginning of the 8th week, is when the Jews actually got the Torah. Torah gives us an ability to be beyond time. So therefore, since the Purim miracle took place in a time beyond time, in the 13th month, right? And who is the one who has the authority to what? To create a 13th month? It's Klal Yisrael. And what gave us that authority? The Torah. Hashem who gave us the Torah. It's the first thing that we received as a people. It's a Torah power. So of course, says the Yisrach Yisrael, when the Jews were saved in Adar Sheni, when the poor miracle took place, they said, you know why we were saved? It was Torah that saved us. It was a Torah ability to add a month that saved our lives. And that's why the Jewish people re-accepted the Torah with great love after the poor miracle. That's what he's about to explain. Ibra Hashanim v'kiddush HaChodesh Rak LiYisrael Nimsera Uva Nikar Kedushas Yisrael VaTorah. And through the process of expanding the calendar, of adding a month, it highlights the sanctity of the Jewish people and the power of Torah and the relationship that they share. Shal Pishneyam Misnagim Kol HaOlamos V'Chol HaMazalos. That we, the Jewish people, yes, we control Zman. We are Lamalim in Azman. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's the beginning of Klal Yisrael's relationship with Torah. It's also the end of the story. It's the beginning of the story and it's the end of the story. Let's look at Mashri of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Chodesh is spelled without a vav in the Torah. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. First thing we ever heard as a people. Empowering us to be controllers of time. Owners of time. What's the gematria of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem? How much is HaChodesh?
4 or 9, 3:17.
HaChodesh is 3:17. Okay? 4:24 is correct. Right? HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is 4:24. How much is HaChodesh? 3:17. How much is HaZeh? 17. How much is Lachem? 90. What's the total? 4:24 is Gematria Mashiach ben David. So HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is the beginning of the tale. And of course, the end of the Jewish history, the end of our story is what? Is the arrival of Mashiach ben David. So HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is both the beginning of our story and the end of our story. The same way that Purim is also a beginning and an end. Right? Purim has a lot to do with being Mekasher, beginnings and ends. That's why Rishon ben Gamliel, we learned earlier this week, says, make sure that what? That Adar is next to Nisan. Why is he connecting Adar to Nisan? Because Adar is the last month of the calendar, Nisan is the first month of the calendar. When we finish reading the Torah, we always go back to the beginning, because Torah has an ability to be beyond time, to connect ends to beginnings and beginnings to ends. So therefore, Chodesh Adar is a Zman that connects beginnings and ends. And therefore, the salvation of the Jewish people, right, it's a beginning in the sense that we renewed our relationship with Torah. It was a beginning of a new relationship with Torah. But it was also a renewal of an old relationship with Torah. Okay? So through the ability to control time, HaChodesh Zalachem, through that power that was given to us, the Jewish people had the ability to dictate how the world operates. He quotes an amazing Talmud Yerushalmi, we mentioned it once, Lakel Gomer Alai, the Pasuk says, Lakel Gomer Alai, explains the Talmud Yerushalmi, top of the left column. A Yerushalmi here, he quotes it from Sanhedrin, it's in several places in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Ibru Beistin Esachodesh Besulo Seha Chozrin. Chazal understand that if a girl loses the signs of her virginity, and she's under the age of 3, so then Besulo Seha Chozrin. Then the skin will grow back. The hymen will grow back. She loses the signs of her virginity, so it'll be restored. Because her body is so young that it can regenerate. If she's older than 3, if she's 4, if she's 5, if she's 6, she's 7, and she loses the sign. Okay, so that's how it is. Right? Chazal have such an idea. Whether that's again, as we mentioned in the past, a biological reality or whatever Chazal mean by that, let's assume for a second in a very literal sense that that's true. So the Gemara says, what happens if a girl just reached her 3rd birthday? And then something happened, right? Something happened that she lost the signs of virginity. It doesn't mean that she, you know, God forbid she was raped or she got married at the age of 3. Right? It could be that she got injured. She got injured in her private area. Yeah? And she lost the signs of her besulim, of her virginity. So she's older than 3. So, again, according to Chazal, okay, that's the way it is. And now, all of a sudden, the Beis Din declares a leap year. So retroactively now, all of a sudden, now she's like almost 3, right? A second ago, she was 3 years old. Now we shift the calendar, making her retroactively not yet three, as based in added a month to the calendar. So says the Gemara, B'sula Se'achozer. Chazal have the ability to control time in such a way that what? That now she's bound by the decisions of our Beis Din, of the Sanhedrin. Unbelievable. An amazing idea. Again, it's the ultimate Gemara that expresses the Torah's ability to control time in a way that impacts reality. Nimsa da oz b'shah shero uvehez... yeah, fine. So, Ibru Beis Din Esachodesh b'sul se'achosim Nimsa da oz b'shah shero uvehezber Mordechai v'Esther shero lahem Shirak b'sibas ha'ibur hayanes shalem. So when the Jews saw, wait a minute, why were we saved? Haman has real you know, powers. Haman knew Kishuf. Haman was a master magician. So how is he not able to control the situation? Ah, it's because it was an other sheni. It was a time beyond time. It was a time that's not susceptible to mazalos, to the mazel, to the constellations. And therefore, the Jewish people said, wow, it's only because of leap years that we were saved. Where's the authority of leap years come from? That's the first thing God ever gave us in the Torah. So when the Jews realized that, they said, wow, Torah really is so amazing. And that's how they fell in love with Torah and re-accepted the Torah. And therefore, he says, Re'u be'einayim pekuchos. They saw with wide open eyes, Koach HaTorah Kadosha, Shenosenes Chaim Lo'oseh. That Torah, in the most literal, simple fashion, gives life to those who practice it. They saved them from the most evil plot against the Jewish people in history. It saved us physically and spiritually, literally from a death sentence to life itself. And therefore the Jews re-accepted the Torah with great desire and great love. The Jews accepted the Torah and appreciated the light of Torah. Shiro bebirur ki haTorah motzia mimaves lachayim u'me'afela l'or gadol. They saw how Torah has the ability to take a Jew from the darkest of places, and by attaching himself to Torah, it brings, literally, it brings life to a person. I think it's just such a simple and beautiful explanation of why, again, Purim, of all the Yom Tovim, generated this love of Torah. Had it not been a leap year, which is something that, again, the Torah has empowered Chazal to create, could be that Haman would have used his koach of kishuf to harm Klal Yisrael. But because it took place in a month that is outside of mazel, it highlights the fact that ain mazel the Yisrael, that there is no mazel for the Jewish people, and the Torah was able to provide salvation for us. Okay? All right, so we should be zocha. We should be zocha to cling deeply to the Torah and to understand the gift that Hashem has given us. All right, shkoyach.